Blog Talk Radio.
Feeling like I'm breathing my last breath. Feeling like I'm walking my last steps. Look at all of these tears I've wept. Look at all the promises that I've kept. I put my all into your hands. Here's my soul to keep. I let you in with all that I can. You're not hard to reach, and you bless me with the best gift that I've ever known. You give me purpose. Yeah, you've given me purpose. Thinking my journey's come to an end. Sending out a farewell to my friends. Farewell to peace. Ask you to forgive me for my sins. Oh, would you please? I'm more than grateful for the time we spent. My spirit's at ease. I put my heart into your hands. Learn the lessons you teach. No matter when, wherever I am, you're not hard to reach. And you've given me the best gift that I've ever known. You give me purpose. Every day, you give me purpose. In every way. Oh, you are my everything. Oh, you are my everything.
I don't know if this is wrong because someone else is telling me that it's wrong, but I feel this, so let me just, like, try my best not to let this happen again. We weren't necessarily put in the best position to make the best decisions. You can't be hard on yourself for it. These were the cards that you were given. So you have to understand that these, like, that's not who you are. You know you're trying to be the best you can be, but that's all you can do. If you don't give it all you got, you're only cheating yourself. Give it all you got. But if it ends up happening, it ends up happening. That's what's happening with me. It's like, God, I'm giving it all I got. Sometimes I'm weak and I'm going to do it. And it's like, I'm not giving myself grace. I'm just, like, understanding that's just how it is.
You're now tuned into the most powerful show for truth anywhere on the face of planet Earth and beyond. You're tuned into the voice of an entire nation. Welcome to the Star and Crescent Report. As always, we open up in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is none other than Master Farad Muhammad, the almighty, all-wise, true and living God, Allah, who has come to us this day and granted us a divine mercy and reminder in the personage of the last and most surely the greatest of the apostles, prophets, and messengers of God to ever live. We speak about none other than our leader, teacher, and guide for these final days of judgment, the most holy and humble, Elijah Muhammad. And we greet all of our listening and viewing audiences with the greetings of peace, love, and paradise in the original language of Arabic, which means peace be unto you. We say to you all in both their names of love, As-salamu alaykum. For those of you who may wish to participate in our discussion today, you're welcome to call in at 347-989-0855. That's 347-989-0855. Or you can hit us up with a message at Hiram1555@yahoo.com. That's Hiram1555@yahoo.com. As always, we'd like to thank you for giving us another hour of your day and another day of your time. We'd like to thank the thousands of you who listen live from around the globe and the thousands of you who will download us later from all of our affiliate sites, be it Hiram1555.tumblr.com, Twitter.com/Hiram1555, Facebook.com/Hiram1555. 1555, blogtalkradio.com/Hiram1555, and our main news blog, which is formerly trumpetoftruth.wordpress.com and also formerly salamjournal.com and salamjournal.org, which is now the Hiram1555 blog at Hiram1555.com. Again, my beloved family, I tell to you all, Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to another edition of the most powerful show for truth anywhere on the face of planet Earth. This is the platform for black liberation and black empowerment. This is the Star and Crescent Report, and our show today is titled Planet Chaos, the World at War. Now, I started to do the show and start off with a few clips, but I want to, as I was listening to the intro of the show, I was actually in the Fall of America, and it's some timely stuff that's going on. I want to take you all to chapter 17, and I want to also take you to the dictionary because we're going to go in here real quick, and then we'll go into the clips. Because I want you to see what is going on in America, and I want you to see what's going on outside of America. And I want you to understand and focus that the main and the root cause of all of these trials, all of these tribulations, all of these plagues and disasters that are hitting America is because of you. This is the day of your liberation. A lot of you don't understand it. This is the day of your separation. A lot of you keep screaming it but don't understand it. This is the day that God comes forth to break the power of your oppressor, to raise you back up, make you the head and no longer the tail, and then to destroy those who try to destroy you. It's all in your Bible if you're a Christian or a believer in your Bible. It's all in your Holy Quran if you're a Muslim or believe in Islam or in some shape, form, or fashion. It's all in all of the scriptures of old and all of the religions of old, or so-called religions of old. And God is now fulfilling the promise that the ancients had spoke about. This is a beautiful time to be alive, black man and black woman. We'll go to the dictionary because I want you to get an understanding of this. As the show was coming on, I wanted to go to the dictionary and let us pay close attention to a few things, okay? And as we're talking to brothers and sisters, listen to me good. As we're talking, my show is being hit. Also, the computers are being hit. So give me, if it's a pause or if it's a delay or if it gets quiet, don't hang up. This is what we're going through, okay? You know the routine. You are listening. You know how it goes down. So, for us to understand the show, for us to understand the subject of the show, let's go to the dictionary and understand the first part of the title. And it's called Planet Chaos, all right? The word planet means any of the seven celestial bodies, sun, moon, Venus, Jupiter, Mars, Mercury, or Saturn, that in ancient belief have motions of their own among the six stars. Any of the large bodies that revolve around the sun and the solar system. A similar body associated with a star. Now here we go. A celestial body held to influence the fate of human beings. That's what we need. Then listen to this one. A person or thing of great importance. So now we're understanding that the show is more about planets, more than about planets. This is about you and I. These are people or a person or a thing of great importance, according to the scripture. There's nothing more important to God than your liberation. There's nothing more important to God than putting you back on top of civilization. He said that he declared with an oath that he would kill off nations to give you a home and to place you back on top of civilization. So in his eyes, you are a person or people or great things of great importance in his eyes. The Bible says that you are the apple of his eye. Isn't that right? So you must be of great importance if you become the apple of God's eye. So you get the gist of the beginning of the subject. Planet Chaos. So if you are the apple of God's eye, if you are this important person or body or people, let's go to the next subject and we'll get this thing together right. Chaos. According to the definition in the dictionary, it says, a state of things in which chance is supreme. You know, you're very superstitious people, so you go by chance. You don't understand motion. You don't understand science. You don't understand that things have a conviction. So you being the apple of God's eye in this time, you are full of chaos. You're full of confusion. You're full of a state of despair. You don't understand that God has come in person to give you a place. You don't understand that God will eventually work out that which the prophets have predicted. So you have been inundated with the madness of this society. And you cannot see through the clutter, the confusion, the chaos, right? You are a planet of chaos, and so is this world. All right, all praise is due to Allah. We got to get this thing down. You know, it's good to read things. It's better when you get an understanding of what you're listening to or what you're reading. So now we're looking at a planet. It says planet chaos. The world's at war. We are at war on all levels. Yes, there's economic warfare going on. Yes, there's military confrontation going on. Yes, there's a cultural war. But what this devil is doing now, he's waging war on you mentally and spiritually, trying to make you an enemy of what God has come to give you. So at one time he was against homosexuality. Now, if you don't like homosexuality, you are the outcast, right? Whatever God says thou shalt not do, the devil goes right behind. Well, we, you know, that was for then, and we can do X, Y, and Z now. He's making you confused. He's making you an enemy of your own salvation. So you can see that on every level, the world's at war. Is that not right? So Muhammad says to us that we have no refuge other than in the bosom of our Lord. If you are not rooted to God, if you're not rooted in truth, you will be confused. You will be misled, misguided. That goes back to this. I was listening to an interview given yesterday by this pastor out of Chicago. And he was talking about the situation in Chicago. And he gave some good analysis of what was going on in Chicago. But the main thing he was saying, unless we understand we've got to do this and we've got to do that, then things will not change, and it starts with voting. And I just shook my head, because even though he made good points, he still believes in a system that is confused, a system full of madness. And as Saladin used to tell me, he said, brother, when the chastisement get on these hypocrites and disbelievers, you stay away from them. I don't care how good it looks. I don't care how much they get publicity. I don't care how much they are loved in the people's eyes. You stay away from it, brother, because if you get next to that person or people under chastisement, the chastisement can jump on you. And if it jumps on you, don't come next to me. And so we're seeing a world of confusion today, a state of confusion. But isn't that what the book says, that God will come in a cloud having a great power and glory? So we are in a state of confusion. The entire planet is confused because God deemed it so to make his appearance. I hope you're listening to what I'm saying. And all of this stems from you. I know some of you say, well, what does this have to do with me? Because God comes to liberate you. Because you are the, no matter where you look, go to any place on earth, even if you go to Africa, so-called, you'll see those in power who were either established there by the white supremacist, the white doctrine, or whatsoever. And in that, the country is full of madness, and you have the top layer of people getting rich or trying to remain in power while the masses are suffering. No matter where you go, the black man is at the bottom of the rung, and he's the last. Think about that. Do you ever wonder why this? I'll talk about this for a minute, and then we'll go into a couple clips, and we'll play this. Do you ever think about why Africans, I'm talking about people that were born over in Africa, can come here and get a little bit more than you can, and they're a little bit more cohesive and unified than you are? Do you ever think about why the Vietnamese can come here and get loans and get businesses and stuff, but you can't? Do you ever think about how they will, and this is no knock to the Mexicans, they will let the Mexicans cross the border. They will let the Cubans get here. But if the Haitians get here, they send them back. Have you ever thought about why everybody who comes to America can get and you can't get a leg up. If they give you one food stamp, they're going to talk about it in Congress for 38 years. If you get one loan, they're going to have so many requirements on you that you'll never be economically free. Have you ever wondered that? It's because this white man hates you. He hates the so-called American Negro. Why? Because you are the apple of God's eye. Go back to the beginning of the show. And so God will feed them the religion. He will feed them the confusion that they have tried to put in you and I. And look at the confusion that they tried to put in you and I. And look at their policy today. Nothing but confusion. Nothing but madness. Right? Whether you see it domestically or globally, they are a confused nation. Isn't that right? And they're pushing everybody towards war. Look at home. The racial divide grows. The wealth divide grows, right? The cultural divide continue to explode, right? The haves and the have-nots and power continues to explode exponentially. Those who are entitled, the white people, they continue to get. The black people, they continue not to get. And this is causing insurrection and civil strife and excitement that we're moving towards something close to a civil war. Then you look outside of her borders. America is still doing things, robbing nations, bombing nations, destroying nations, destabilizing nations, overthrowing governments. Right? The madness, the planet is full of chaos because the root cause of that is Anglo supremacy. White supremacy, and a desire to conquer and subjugate all, regardless to the price or consequences. What is the war criminal Madeleine Albright, the former Secretary of State, when asked about the bombing and killing of millions of Muslims, right? Those in Central Europe, the white Muslims over there, when they bombed Yugoslavia, and then the Muslims in Iraq, when she was asked about the over 1 million Muslims who were killed. Now, you don't hear this when the white people are screaming out about Muslims killing white people. And but this is madness here with these white people. But listen, old Madeleine Albright says, when they asked her, well, when you look back on things and the displacement of millions of people and the killing of millions of people and the destruction of nations just to remove that person, what do you think about? She says, well, that's collateral damage. I believe it was worth it. Because this is their mindset. This is how they think. And in their madness, they can justify anything. And let me say this while I'm on this subject, and then we'll go to this thing. I was reading a statement by one of the naval commanders, a rear admiral, and he was briefing Congress. I was reading this last night. Things like this is normal to me to read. But anyway, so he was briefing Congress, and he was talking about China's rise and the potential that it has against American dominance. Now, he justifies American dominance. He justifies America being able to project power. He justifies America being able to intervene at any nation's domestic or political affairs. He justifies her being in neighborhoods thousands of miles away from her shores, right? But when China builds up just a little bit of weaponry to defend her own coast, he says, well, we see that China is being belligerent and more aggressive, trying to challenge the world order. And she's trying to dominate her neighborhood. Well, you're not in the neighborhood. What are you worried about it for? That is like you worrying about a neighborhood 70,000 miles away, right? You want to project your power and your thought on somebody 70,000 miles away. That's madness. You can justify your 12 aircraft carrier groups, but you are saying that China becomes belligerent when she gets one. You can justify your 7,000 nuclear weapons that are already locked and loaded, not including the 3,000 to 5,000 more that is in storage. You can justify that. But then North Korea becomes belligerent if she gets 32. I'm reading these things and I'm saying to myself, my God, how can people not see the madness in these people's policies? That's because you're full of madness too. That's why you can't see it. But think about that. It says that China is building up her military and economic capabilities to deny, to deter, and to prevent America from intervening in her neighborhood. Well, that's common sense. You know, this is what you do. You would do that in your own home, in your own, right? That China's at home. China's not off the coast of California. China's not off the in the Gulf of Mexico or on the Atlantic coast either. So you would do that to protect your families. Look at these things in your own house and neighborhood. Why is it so wrong for a nation to do the same thing? But you can do it. This is the planet chaos. This is the symptom of madness that has set in on the politicians. I can. Is that not Nebuchadnezzar? Look at what my hands have wrought. I can, and there is none other. Is that not right? That's America, isn't it? That's her policy. And all while she's thinking about China, all while she's thinking about Russia, all while she's trying to prevent the rise of opposite power poles, at home, she's crushing the black man. But this is what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us to expect. He told us this. But Allah is the best planner. And he had already laid a snare for America. And she has been ensnared in this snare. And we can see her tumbling and falling at home and abroad. Planet chaos. The world at war. So, I want you to pay a close attention to this short clip. This is a minute and some. And then we'll go to another clip. And in the second clip, this is talking about the Democratic Republic of the Congo. And I'm playing this clip for just a specific reason, to show you how America and her policies are a direct threat to black people here in America and black people around the world, and how it mirrors the domestic center, mimics and mirrors what she's doing in black nations around the world. But first, I want you to listen to how she's doing you here, okay? This is a minute and 20 seconds, 30 seconds, something like that. Pay close attention to this. Here we go. Hopefully, they will allow me to play it. Sometimes there's a delay. So here we go. Here we are.
According to the Chicago Tribune, for years, the Chicago Police Department has allowed white detectives to torture black suspects to the point where they confess to murders that they did not commit. Many believe former Chicago Mayor Richard Daley was aware of this damaging police culture during his reign as mayor. He's now slated to give a deposition in the case of Alonzo Smith. Smith is a victim of the CPD's dark history. Allegedly, he was beaten with a rubber stick and had a plastic bag placed over his head, forcing him to confess to a 1983 murder. Smith was released from prison last year after he had spent almost 20 years behind bars. Now, this is not the first time Daley has been asked to give a deposition. This is actually the third time. Prior to Smith's case, Daley was able to settle two other lawsuits before he could be questioned under law. Similar to Smith, Michael Tillman confessed to a rape and murder taking place in 1986. Tillman claims he confessed because detectives not only beat him, but threatened to kill him and placed a plastic bag over his head. Now, in 2012, Daley was scheduled to give a deposition in the case. However, the case settled for $5.3 million. Now, this happened again in 2007. Daley was scheduled to testify in the Madison Hobley case, allegedly another victim tortured by the CPD. However, in 2008, the case was settled for $7.5 million, and Daley never testified. And less than a month from now, on January 17, 2017, Daley will testify in the Smith case. Now, let's say the deposition does move forward. It will be the very first time Daley reveals what he knows about the CPD's history of torture. But what remains to be seen is whether Daley will be forced to give a deposition next month or if the case will be settled with millions. In Washington, Ashley Banks, RT.
Yes. See, I hear white people screaming about Guantanamo Bay when there's a Guantanamo Bay in every city in America that abuses and misuses black people. And what they try to do to keep it from getting out to the masses, they know that black people in America really has never had any access to wealth. So they'll offer them $1 million or $2 million to try to keep these people, the mayors and the police commissioners, from being caught up in this snare and to shut their mouths. One of the agreements to accepting the money is to shut your mouth and do not reveal the intricacies of how we raped you and how we sodomized you and how we kept you, we kidnapped you and kept you in the worst conditions in private prisons that you don't know nothing about. This is one of the main things that they have to sign to get this money, this $1 million, $2 million, $3 million. It's a shame. This is why the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, I know he said something. Oh, here we go. Chapter 28. And he said, is America, is modern America as merciless as ancient Nineveh? He asked this question. That's the name of the chapter. Is modern America as merciless as ancient Nineveh? And so you have your answer because you just heard the clip. I didn't make this up. I didn't throw out the statistics. I didn't just tell you that stuff. You just heard it from news. So you have your answer. Hell yeah, she's as merciless. And she is as wicked as ancient Nineveh. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, oh, this is beautiful. He says, there is no justice for us, the so-called Negroes, in a government whose citizens are free to kill and to satisfy and then turn upon their rulers and slay them. What hands have we under the rule of such people? We live under the very shadow of death all the day long. I concur. I bear witness. We live under the very shadow of death in America without the rights that are afforded to the occupants of this nation. I didn't say the people of the nation. I said occupants, because they are occupiers whatsoever you find them at. They are occupiers, whether it's in Europe, Australia, New Zealand, South and Central America, Africa, or North America. They are occupiers. They are not rooted there. They went there. They were put there. And they have occupied those places up to the date. So, you cry about the suffering of others. I don't hear you shedding tears about that. I don't hear you shedding tears about the misuse and abuse of the black man and black woman. This is what I keep telling you. A lot of those murders that you hear going on in Chicago, a lot of those murders that you hear going on around the country, and they blame on gang violence. Do you not understand that the police units have crack teams where they go in and assassinate people? Do you not know that? They go in and they kill people to start turf wars between people, and then they can justify a heavier hand at going in and controlling the situation and justify their presence in their neighborhood. And then they can kill people, these mass assailants, and blame it on somebody, plant the evidence, blame it on somebody, and get two for one. Okay, we got those niggas off the street. They're dead. Now we can go sweep up the other ones who we have planted the evidence on and put them in prison. And all we have to do is tell the news this, this, and this, and you guilty before ever going to a court, because the news is going to give the perspective of the police side. So they're inundating you with this madness, and you fall for it hook, line, and sinker. Chicago violence is exploding. Sure it is. But it's a cycle that is being perpetuated and kept going by those in power, because they are the direct beneficiaries of it, because they continue to get grants, they continue to get funding for their military police style units, and they can continue to oppress and accost the black communities and deprive them of the rights of power and self-governance in their own communities. Planet chaos. The world's at war. You never looked at it like that, did you? But now you're going to look at it like that, because that's exactly what's taking place, not just in Chicago, but around the country. You don't realize the depths of how wicked this man is. If he's done it in Iraq, if he's doing it in Afghanistan, if he's done it and doing it in Syria, if he's trying to do it in Asia, and you are the ones that he hates the most, what the hell do you think he's doing right here in his own borders in the black community? look at these things for what they are and not for how you would like them to be. It's a beautiful time to be awakened, to the reality of the times. And Muhammad writes in chapter 18, matter of fact, this is the, while I'm talking on this, I was flipping to this because I knew it was something in this book about this subject, about the technology that this devil plays on you. And brothers and sisters, I have to have water. I know it's Ramadan, but I have to have water due to the fact that the medicine that I take for arthritis, so you have to deal with that. But listen, it gives you the dry mouth, and I couldn't do the show without the water. But in chapter 18, the title of it is called Slavery in Alabama and Mississippi. And in the first paragraph, Muhammad writes, the white man's technology is always being trumpeted to the world that they are peace lovers. Isn't that not right? What are they saying? They're trying to keep the peace in Asia, right? Yet deploying all types of weapons there. That's how they're going to keep peace. They're trying to keep the peace in Europe. Yet deploying the most deadliest weapons, right? They're trying to keep the peace in Africa. Yet they're dividing the leadership up, bribing leaders, overthrowing governments, and then deploying troops and weapons there. They're trying to keep peace, right? That's the way they keep peace. And they're trumpeting this around the world. And then at home, we're going to keep the peace in the communities. And yet they ride around in your communities like they're in the midst of a war zone with MRAPs, heavy assault rifles. They are armed to the teeth. And when they come in groups. That's military tactics, right? But yet they're trying to keep peace. They're not keeping peace by education. They're not keeping peace by going into your community trying to help you establish yourselves as a unified community. They're not in there trying to offer things that would help the community unify. They're in there in full military array. This is how they offer the peace. The peace cannot be kept like that. Did they keep it in Iraq? Is there peace there? Like they say, they have peacekeepers there. Is there any peace there? What about in Afghanistan after 11 or 12 or 13 years? Huh? Is there peace there? Huh? Talk back to me. See, this is what I want. How can you keep peace when the same method you use to start the war is the method that you use to try to keep peace? This is madness. So Muhammad says, the white man's technology is always being trumpeted to the world that they are peace lovers, as though they want all people, as they falsely claim, to be free and to live in peace, while they are sitting on and crushing between 20 and 30 million, and now it's between 48 and 68 million black people in America. Now, for 100 years, the slave master's children falsely claim that we are free and that they are trying to treat us as free people. Do you see that? Are we equal? Do we have equal rights? Are we treated equal? Why every time you look on TV, why every time you go to a job, if there's no color, then why the hell are the people mostly that are employed in these companies white? It's not by chance. And if they're trying to be right about things, how about the redistribution of the land that was stolen here? And the stuff that we were deprived of during slavery. How about compensating us? Land-wise, money-wise, and education-wise. How about that? If you're talking about peace, that's the only way to get it. You got to right the wrong. Otherwise, you're not doing it. What do they tell you when you commit a crime? You have to go before the court. And they must have a hearing or a trial on the situation. And then after weighing all evidence, they come to a conclusion. And what they say, justice is meted out. Well, we got to have that too. This does not stop on your side. We have to have it too. Planet chaos. The world's at war. Now I'm going to show you. So this is about a 5-minute, 6-minute clip. Be patient with this because I'm going to try to get this clip in. I want you to listen to what this journalist from the Democratic Republic of Congo says as they're interviewing him. And they're talking about the diplomatic and political chaos that has ensued the Democratic Republic. telling you this. And then he goes and he tells you that all of this, the root of all of these problems, not just in the Democratic Republic of Congo, but all across Africa and in Black America, is the root cause of American policy. See, these people see it, but you don't. This black man from Congo sees it, and here you are sitting in America, and all you can see is these talk shows and these court shows and this madness that they give to you on a daily basis. Brothers and sisters, you better wake up from this before you be found wanting, because this is the most serious time to live in, brothers and sisters. I'm telling you this, because judgment is being rendered out, and America is going, well, now she's not going to fall. She is falling as we speak. She's under a heavy burden once she will not be able to carry, because God's hand is against her. God's hand is against her, brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters, my computer has gone completely black. I told you at the beginning of the show that we were fighting these viruses that they were hitting us with, and my computer has gone completely black. I just want you to understand, I'm talking to you today. This is what we have to go through, and I'm trying to get back on. All right, here we go. Thank God. Thank you. All praise is due to Allah for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So, I guess we're hitting them too hard, because they're going after the computers now. So I want you to listen to this clip here. And from that point, we'll transition. We're going to talk about this, then we'll transition to what you're seeing going on militarily and economically in the world, because we have to do it this way so that you can understand why, what, when, and where, and how. Okay? We want you to understand all of the root causes of these things and where you are in the midst of all of this. So pay close attention to this. Hopefully they will allow me to play this.
December 19th of this year is the last day that President Kabila, or Mr. Kabila as I should call him, should be in power. He has served two presidential terms, and our constitution says that he cannot serve for a third term. So he has done everything in his power to actually extend his stay in presidency, meaning he just chose not to organize the elections at all in the country. So December 19th came about. Nothing actually around the electoral process took place. But what is most important is what the young Congolese have done to put pressure on him. Throughout all last week, they've been organizing civil disobedience actions across the country. A few have been actually, you know, kidnapped. We do not know what they are, such as Chris Chemati with Kantarebu and other youth who have been actually engaged in that. But through that process, many have been killed, many have been imprisoned, and we hope that they will be released. But all of this is very predictable. We have a president who was imposed on the Congolese people, mainly through U.S. foreign policy, to have a leader that will provide access to Congo's resources.
And it sounds like a story that would be perfect for the media to pick up, young people rising up, demanding rights. Has the situation in the Congo been covered appropriately by the media, in your view, and why or why not?
I think the situation in the Congo has been undercovered. It's been interesting even reading international media. The international journalists or media have focused mainly on the crisis without a deep analysis of why we are where we are today. So it appears again as another African story without a context. President Kabila, who has caused this crisis in the Congo today, is a product of the United States. The United States actually placed him there in some ways, where they supported him in 2001 when he ascended to power as a rebel. Then, in 2006 and 2011, with the elections we had in the Congo, the United States was one of the first countries to recognize Kabila as the president, though those elections were illegitimate. So that's what we hope for other journalists as they look at the situation in the Congo. We can't just talk about the crisis that's happening, but we have to provide the analysis of how did we get here with the U.S. support influencing the situation inside of the Congo.
Why else should Americans care about what's happening right now in the Congo? There's the taxpayer aspect, of course, but you've made parallels between struggles here in the U.S., specifically the Black Lives Matter movement, and what's happening in the Congo. Can you expand on that?
Yes. I mean, if you look at the images that's happening in the Congo right now, we have security forces shooting at protesters, literally nonviolent protesters with live bullets. And these militarized police is also a consequence of the United States military support to the Congolese government. I still remember in 2011 how the United States provided $500,000 worth of police gears to the Congolese police. So we see that connection there. But what's also most important for Americans to actually know is that what's happening in the Congo is funded by U.S. taxpayers' money. We can go back to 1960. Our first elected prime minister, Patrice Emery Lumumba, was assassinated with the help of the CIA. That was U.S. foreign policy using U.S. taxpayers' money. We had the dictator wars imposed on the Congo for 32 years, Mobutu, thanks to U.S. taxpayers' money. And as I mentioned just a moment ago, Joseph Kabila, the president who was supposed to leave power since December 19th, who is still there, is also in a position of the United States. So Americans are also implicated through the taxpayers' money, and they should care because those issues are the same. Militarist police in New York City is the same as the militarist police in the Congo, funded by our taxpayers' money.
Kambale, I searched the White House's website for the Congo to see what statements have been made about the situation. The last time it was named was 2 months ago when President Obama signed an executive order extending a national emergency with respect to the DRC, describing the situation as an unusual and extraordinary threat to the foreign policy of the United States. The notice does not even mention Kabila. What is the purpose of this state of emergency? Why does it say threat to U.S. foreign policy? And what do you believe Obama's legacy will be when it comes to the Congo and the region?
Obama's legacy is going to be looked at through the prism of what he did actually for the Congo. You know, as a senator before he became president, he actually wrote a bill that became law in support of the Congo. As he became president, his policy shifted. I still remember when he visited Ghana in 2009, his second trip to Africa. When he spoke in Accra, he stated that he declared that the United States will now support strong institutions and not strong men. And there was so much hope for Africans to see the U.S. shifting policy now. But that's not what has unfolded. When you look at the region of the Congo, for example, when we talk about Rwanda and Uganda, the so-called U.S. allies on the war on terror, the leaders in these countries are being funded and supported by the United States. And it's just lately that Obama has showed some timid side of not supporting Kabila. But unfortunately, U.S. policy through Obama for Africa has been very militarized, and he has not held up to his promises. But this is not just something for Obama. It's the same thing for Bush. What I've understood over the years that U.S. foreign policy on the African continent has been for access of resources, and specifically for the Congo is also the case. And this is why we appeal to U.S. citizens to put pressure on the government. It's not okay for children under the age of 5, 3 million of them, to die in the Congo due to that conflict that we have there. And we have to build ties where when young Congolese are fighting to transform the country, young Americans are doing the same in the country, and we stop the violence, the militarization, just to get some shiny rocks abroad, as in this case in the Congo.
All right.
Did you hear all of that? This is what I'm saying to you. So some of us, we're so preoccupied with ourselves, we don't see that one rock thrown over here makes the water, the waves go over there, and vice versa. So this thing is interconnected, and he point these things out. And as I told you, and he brought it up, he said, what Obama said is different from what he's doing. See, and I continue to tell you this. Did you know, and for those of you who are always defending Obama, let me drop something on you. Do you know under this president that he's bombed more black nations than all of the other presidents? Do you know that he's invaded? I'm talking about actually giving African leaders a choice to allow our military presence there willfully, and we will help you with financial and military aid, or we will bomb you and come in and out. They do this under the cover of fighting terror when they are the terrorists. And this Negro has done it, and all he does to keep you captivated is put a basketball on his finger and spin it and say, cha-cha-cha-cha-cha, Mr. Stephen Fetchin on 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. He has attacked all of these Muslim nations and created chaos. Well, we know he doesn't have all the power, but he sits in the office. Nobody told him to sit there. If you know that, what do they call it when you are with a person and the person commits a crime, and even though you're You may not be the main person behind the crime. You are an accessory after the fact. You are an accessory to the crime. So as white people try to impose their rule and maintain their governance over this world, which is going out, this Devin Fetchit nigger, let me get it right now, is an accessory to the crime of the killing of millions of blacks here in America and around the globe, and the destabilization of black and African nations and Muslim nations around the globe. You can't disassociate all of these wars and this terror that's going on in America and around America away from this man. He accepted that position, right? You compared him one time to the Jesus of 2,000 years ago. I remember when he was running for president, they were all doing a comparison. Even Minister Farrakhan did a comparison to him, to Master Farad Muhammad. And I said, the brother stepped out of line with that. He stepped out. You can go back and listen to the shows. I said the brother stepped out of line with that. And I told you long before anybody was saying something, I said, this devil is using Obama in a time that the Savior comes in sinful flesh to condemn sin in the flesh. Mr. Obama comes being made of the two people also. And he comes to captivate you. The devil, this is what the devil does. Oh, if God does something, then I'm going to go do it too. I want to be the ruler. I want to be the God. I'm going to use this to my advantage. They see, under Bush, there would have been hell raised if he had been more this aggressive, overthrowing black nations. And it would have caused a universal uproar if he had overthrew Gaddafi and uprooted the Jamaria from Libya. But they had these plans. America just didn't make these plans. Right then and there, they had these plans on the book, and they were implementing them from administration to administration. And when they got Mr. Cha-Cha-Cha, they were able to implement it. This nigga is a Judas to black liberation everywhere. I don't use the word nigga much, but brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. When you are willing to sell your people up the road, when you are willing to overthrow the most prosperous African government and to cause North Africa to implode upon itself, you're a nigger. You are what that white man made you to be, a nigger. The white man made people to be niggers, niggers. Because when he breathes into you his wisdom and you do anything for that man, for his wealth, you his toy. You're not able to move outside of his orbit. You move from his gravitational pull. You become his. You are his nigger. This is what he is. I'm sorry, black man and black woman. You might not like this, but it's the truth. And I dare any one of y'all to come up against this. Any one of you. Because the truth is there. You can't ignore the fact. Do you know that more black people have lost wealth under President Obama? Huh? And then these Muslims, I like these so-called political, non-political Muslims. And they always be on Donald Trump. I don't care about Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, or any of them. I don't have any stakes in the game with them and their political system. I disassociate myself with the entire system. So I don't care which is which. Because the whole system, the nation, the republic, and the people are going to hell in a handbasket. And I want no part of that. But they condemn Trump. I see all of them. If you voted for Trump, you're house niggas. So in words, they're telling you should have voted for Clinton. See, they don't realize that. You can see this all on Facebook. They don't realize that they have already made their way with one of the devils. But this is their thinking. But they're so wise and they're so intelligent, they can't even see that they're caught up in the madness. Planet chaos. The world's at war. So, in the midst of all of this, of what I'm telling you, black man and black woman, I don't mean to offend you. I just want to tell you the truth. And if truth offends you, so be it. I got to give it up. I got to tell it to you. Like it T.I. is, like my grandmother used to always say. She was, like it T.I. is, like it is. All praises due to Allah for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So, brothers and sisters, smile. You know you're happy. You're happy to receive this truth. You know it. But In all of this, in the midst of all of this, we see an America that is desperate. We see that she is making up all of these units. And what kills me about this is, let me go back to something. You go to all of these different websites, all of these alternative, so-called alternative websites, and all of them have that mantra of Islamic extremism, Islamic fanaticism, right? Islamism. And they all use that as a negative connotation when describing Muslims or Islam. And in the same breath, see, this is how slick this man is. In the same breath, they'll say the government is arming, the government is training, the government is giving intelligence to ISIS. Well, if the government has trained them, if the government has funded them, if they are fighting for the policies of the U.S. government, then they're not Muslim, are they? What are they? They are pawns. They are minions of the empire. Is that right? And all they're doing is screaming out Allahu Akbar. All they're doing is showing the Quran, but their actions dictate to us who they are. But you, and then they'll go back and Islam is a violent religion. Who started World War I? Huh? Was it the Muslims? Who started World War II? Was it the Muslims? Who has an arsenal full of thermonuclear weapons and have them pointed at everybody and is threatening everybody with thermonuclear weapons? And who has bases all around the globe? Is it Muslims? No. Does the Muslim have a base in Rome? No. But the Christian nations have a military, they have three military bases. One 20 miles from Mecca. Isn't that something? So who is the terrorist? Who is the violent religion? Who are the violent people? And all we have to do is look at their history. Is that not right? And you will see a planet that has been taken over by nothing but madness and chaos ever since they have stepped on the face of the planet. Is that not right? You know it is. So with all of this, I'm going to play this short clip. I want you to listen to this. Even the white man is telling you that America makes up enemies just to justify her military spending, her wars, and her occupation. Well, if a person does this, does that not categorize them as being sociopaths? Huh? If they have an unquenchable desire and lust for war, for bloodshed, and for total domination of it, is that not the mindset of a sociopath? Huh? What we need today is the truth. Due to the fact that truth has been withheld from you, I want you to listen to this. I'm hoping they'll allow me to play these few clips because I know, oh, we're down to 6 minutes. Brothers and sisters, please give me another, let's see. Just give me some more time. I won't say give me 5 or 10 minutes. Give me some more time because I want to go into something. And I'm going to show you the wickedness of America. And I'm going to play a few clips to show you this. And some of the clips are 3 minutes, and some of the clips are 7 minutes. So don't answer your phone. Don't click over. Don't do none of that because this show is very important that you, especially at this state of this show, it's very, very important that you listen to these clips here because it's going to expose the maniacal ways and thinkings of this white man, especially this American beast, who's the most vicious and evil of them all. It's going to expose, and in this exposure of this devil, it gives vindication to those who stay firmly rooted in Elijah Muhammad. It gives vindication to those of you who have given your lives to exalt the truth at all costs. We're going to go into this clip here. I want you to listen to this man, and after this clip, we're going to come back. And if you get disconnected, please, immediately after the show ends, go to blogtalkradio.com/Hiram1555 and re-listen to this show, or go to the Hiram1555 blog and click on the radio on the right-hand side and listen to this show, especially, even if you have to just fast-forward it to this part right here, because these clips here are priceless when we're talking about dealing with this beast and her actions, okay? So pay close attention to this one right here, when this devil is giving it up.
America intends to keep over-militarized in South Korea, citing a North Korean threat. There really is no threat at all. North Korea, the Korean War back in the 1950s that I remember very, very well. The Korean War never ended. There's just an uneasy armistice that's been in place all these years, since around 1953, when Dwight Eisenhower was president, inherited the war that Harry Truman began. And the war wasn't the war of the North against the South. It was the South and America against the North responding to the aggression from America, from aggression from South Korea, instigated by America to give Truman an excuse to get into the war and just decimate North Korea. America literally ran out of targets in the war. The country was turned to so much rubble. The pilots complained they didn't know what to bomb anymore. Everything was rubble. That was the damage done to North Korea. A few million people killed. Just outrageous. And there's never been a peace treaty between America and North Korea, even though North Korea threatens nobody. Claims otherwise are phony, just like the claims that Iran threatens other countries. Iran threatens nobody. North Korea threatens nobody. And North Korea and Iran both want to normalize relations with all countries for endless how many years. America likes enemies. It needs enemies. It needs adversaries. Otherwise, how can it justify its outrageous military expenditures? The wars that rage endlessly forever and ever against one country after another. So the public is fear-mongered to believe that countries like North Korea and Iran and Russia and China are enemies of America when that's not the case at all. If America couldn't claim any enemies, or if it didn't claim any enemies, how would it justify spending, with all categories included, well over $1.5 trillion every year on militarism, including maintaining an empire of bases globally? Couldn't possibly justify this unless it claimed there were major threats to U.S. security. So the threats are hyped out of whole cloth. There are none. And countries like North Korea are kept isolated from America, where relations should have been normalized in the 1950s, let alone right now. Will it change under Trump? No, not a chance. He'll stay exactly the same, although he talks about more diplomacy and less wars. He'll be inaugurated on the 20th of January, and we'll see exactly what he will do. I hope that he will go at least modestly in a different direction than America has been in for so long. Who knows? We'll find out in due course, and we can only hope that things might get a little bit better. They won't be dramatically better, but anything in the right direction will be very much welcome.
So this man tells you about how America just bombs people with impunity. You notice they're always screaming war crimes. They talk about Syria, but nobody talks about America's war crimes. They're talking about war crimes. We know that America used small nuclear bombs in Libya. We know this. Cynthia McKinney said it on the show, that America used small nuclear bombs in Libya, killing thousands of people. These what they call non-strategic nuclear weapons. You know, nobody did an investigation. Now, this is one of the people who were in the Congress, the U.S. Congress, saying this. This is not some person sitting on the corner with a 40 in their hand, pants falling down. This is someone in the know. And others of her constituency said the same thing. No war crimes. What about the deposing of leaders? And like that guy said, America hand goes back to Patrice Lumumba, who's one of my heroes. Patrice Lumumba, because he stood up the empire. And while the people were talking about Europe had overthrown Patrice Lumumba, America was the leading cause. She just hit her hand. Muhammad says that she is the one, the root cause of the troubled world today. And we see that. Her hand is in everything. You can't deny she's a bloodshedder. She's a sociopath. You know what? I say this to you a lot. I've got to give you the definition of what this means. And we'll see if this is befitting of the NATO, the North Atlantic Terrorist Organization, and America. We'll see if this definition fits the bill of the mindset, the policies, and the people in government and in power. And if it doesn't, then I'll stop saying it. But let's go to the dictionary, okay? Online dictionary, the word sociopath. According to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, the word sociopath, listen closely to this now. Right now, hold on one second, we're getting a blackout. Here we are. All right. I guess they didn't want me to tell you the definition. Well, anyway, the definition of sociopath is someone who behaves in a dangerous or violent way towards other people and does not feel guilty about such behavior. Now, when America bombed Libya, when they caused the uprising and imported thousands, tens of thousands of terrorists and called it a civil war in Syria, are they doing an about face on it, or are they maintaining their policy? Well, they're maintaining their policy, even though the policy has killed between 500,000 and 1,000,000 people in Syria and destroyed ancient civilizations that were kept preserved, and they destroyed multiple provinces of Syria. Is that not sociopathic? What about the destabilization of Iraq? Is that not sociopathic? What about all across the northern border? You know, I was talking to this well-informed Caucasian. Brother Rashid and Brother Gerald know who I'm talking about, because actually, as he was giving me the information, we were talking back and forth. But this is one of the most respected politicians in the world. And as he called me, I think it was about 3 or 4 days ago, something like that, we were talking, and he was telling me about America and why America overthrew Gaddafi, and I knew pretty much most of what he was talking about. But then he said that there was a triangle here: Tunisia, Egypt, and Libya had a secret deal. And now look at this: Mubarak was America's man. He was their man. And when America found out what was going on, Egypt, Tunisia, and Libya had come up with an agreement to soon put out a universal African gold dinar. We know about that. But what you don't know is that Egypt was going to help militarily to bag it up, and Tunisia, I think he was telling me politically or something, and they would use the resources of Libya to start with, and then all of the other rich African nations, rich in resources, would also add their part. This would have changed the geopolitical, strategic, and economic landscape of the global economy and the political landscape universally around the world overnight. And when America got wind of it, she manipulated the wheat prices and the food prices in Egypt, caused an uproar to overthrow Mubarak, to get him out of the way, so that Libya would not have a military leg to stand on. You see? And then she caused the uprising in Tunisia. Remember, Tunisia was hit with the so-called Arab Spring, too. But it was put down a little bit. Then the move was on to Libya to overthrow Gaddafi and to bomb it back into the Stone Age so that they would not have any fear of this taking place. This man was telling me these things. That's a lot of stuff. We stayed on the phone for, 4 or 5, something, hours. He was showing, telling me a lot of things. And he was telling me, and this is strange, because Brother Rashid and Brother Gerald and I, we talk about this a lot, that the devils recognize this show. It's you that don't recognize it. I get calls all the time talking to this person and that person. They'll say, you know what, Rashid, you do a mighty fine job of representing Elijah Muhammad's teachings. They know who is telling the truth to you. They know who is teaching Elijah Muhammad's teachings. They know this. And so when they call me, we'll laugh, Rashid and I, Brother Gerald and I, we'll laugh about these situations, because it's you that don't know. You're the ones that buck up against it. And the white man gives credit all the time, letting me know, oh, we listen to you. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you this, too. So I'm on the way home, and brothers and sisters, I can't get back to the dashboard at this moment. Again, we're being hit. So I know we're still on the air live, but we're being hit. And it's suppressing the computer at this moment, but we got something that's going to bring the screens back up, hopefully, in just a second, okay? So I'm going to talk to you, and I'm going to share this with you until the screens come back up, and then we'll go to the clip. You hear the binging in the background. That is the computer trying to fight whatever they're trying to throw at us, okay? So I'm on the way home a few days ago also, and I get this this little message, this private message on my cell phone. And what's amazing about this is that I had never even talked bad about this guy all the time. And the guy sends me a message, and he tells me he likes the article that I did about him, and he shared the article, and he retweeted it, and then he sent me some messages behind closed doors, and I'm going to tell you who this guy is. You hear this binging. This is attack going on the computer. So if you hear the binging in the background, this is what's going on while I'm talking to you. With that said, the guy who sent me the message, the guy who private messaged me on my phone, and the guy who took the article about him and retweeted it on his own Twitter account, it's not the guy that I talked to on the phone. This other guy here is in another class, but this guy who texted me, who sent me the private message is Henry Kissinger. Henry Kissinger, the war criminal. Now, first of all, how did you get my information? Well, you're in the seat of authority. Second of all, he was acknowledging he didn't argue with what I was saying about it, but you do. You want to argue on everything. But he liked it, and he retweeted it. Isn't that something? He retweeted what I had to say, but you want to argue with everything. See, this let me know that you're not on the, and I'm not talking about everybody, but I'm talking about this lets me know that a lot of you don't, even though you may listen, you're not getting what you should get on this, because you should be getting, and brothers and sisters, I might not be able to go back to the page. I'm telling you right now, it is a massive attack on the computer. I guess I shouldn't have said, give me all this time. You hear it clicking and stuff in the back. Because this computer is under massive attack right now, and I'm hoping I'm still on the air. My lines are telling me on my speaker phones and everything, it's telling me that I'm on the air, but the computer is I don't know what's going on. But y'all give me a little time, which maybe it'll stop, and maybe I'll be able to access the Blog Talk page again. But again, the white man, he knows what I'm saying is the truth. He knows these things. I don't think I'm going to be able to get back. You hear it, it's just binging in the background. This thing is under massive attack. We'll try it one more time and see, but I think I should have just started talking to you and not saying that I needed X amount of time, another 20, 30 minutes with you. Maybe they wouldn't have attacked the computer. Oh, yes, hopefully we're back there. Well, it went down again. You hear it? But again, I'm sorry to talk to you like this, but I just want to let you know that it is you who are the most in opposition to what I'm saying. What I'm saying is nothing new. The devil knows this. You understand? The devil understands what I'm saying. He knows that he has a limited time. He knows that God is after him. He knows that all that you see going on around the world has a direct bearing on your salvation. He knows that. He knows that you're the apple of God's eye. Why do you think he continues to try to inundate you with madness? 24 hours a day with sports, 24 hours a day with sexual innuendo, 24 hours a day with all of these gangster movies, with all of this stuff, and then he floods your mind and your community with this madness. And you start shooting up things like the OK Corral, and you get the blame for it. He already knew that you were unhinged mentally, and then to give someone who has gone insane a gun and free will to do anything is a recipe for destruction. You crazy. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says that we have to have protection from this crazy Negro because the white man made him crazy. And God has come in person to offer him a way out, to offer him a place in the sun. Now, you can accept this or you can reject it. It's on you. But you will not be able to deny that this is the time that America falls. She's fallen. And your liberation is at stake. What I'm going to tell you is, and I know we're not getting back, the thing is just popping. So this is live on air. Again, I want to say, why do they do this to my show? I ask you this. Why? And why do they do it on air? They're letting you know that they are offended by something that I'm saying. They never say that I'm lying. They never come up and say, well, what you're saying is not true, and you're not proving it. What they do, they try to undermine it by cutting the lines, by stopping the links. They've cut links to articles that I've had up forever. They're rerouting some people that go to the website. They're doing this to the blog show. Why? Little insignificant me. Why are they doing this? Because this is the only place that you're getting Elijah Muhammad 100%. Other people, well, I'm Elijah Muhammad 100%. No, 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 no. What you are, you read something and you take it for what you read. You do the same thing as what the Christians say. You'll read something, you'll memorize it, but without understanding. And it's a hell of a thing to try to teach somebody when you don't have the understanding. You can be charged for misleading people. So what we do, we read these things and we go into the depths of the meaning of what is being said to you, what is being conveyed to you, so you have no recourse to say, I reject it. You can't do that. You are being slapped in the face with God's unequivocal truth. In a day that the white man himself is under divine onslaught, he's fallen. He's fallen. And as that commercial says, never to get back up again, brothers and sisters. We're going to go out like this because I have no access to nothing anymore. You hear it binging in the background with an undying love and passion for the upliftment, the redemption, and the liberation of 68 million of our kind first in America, then the billions around the world. I want you to see this for yourselves. Look how they're blocking the show. Look how they're attacking the websites. Look at what they're doing to this thing. All right? So, on my parting note, I say to you, get yourself together, get yourself right, stay focused, because there's going to be some tremendous events that are about to take place. The ride will be bumpy. Buckle your spiritual seats, stay focused on the truth, and you will be victorious. Long live Muhammad. Long live Muhammad. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah who comes in the person of one master, Farad Muhammad. And I bear witness that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, yes, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is the last and most surely the greatest of the apostles, prophets, and messengers of God to ever live. On that note, I sign out as your brother and warrior in the truth. As-salamu alaykum.